To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exalt over me. Let none that wait for you be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are clothed with treachery. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are my God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been sent, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me. For the sake of your goodness, O Lord, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore the Lord instructs sinners in the way and leads the humble in what is right and teaches them their way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep the Lord's covenant and testimonies.
Let's turn now to the second reading from the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 14 through 16. You can find this in page 694 of the Hebrew Bible of your Pew Bible. These are probably among the most familiar of Old Testament passages, these that we read throughout Advent. Perhaps that'll be to your understanding as well today. Hear these words. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 9 through 13. It can be found on page 192, the New Testament section of your Pew Bible. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy that we feel before our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you face to face and restore whatever is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. And may he so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us turn now to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke. Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 36. In this lectionary year, we'll be mostly reading from the Gospel of Luke as we follow along in the Christmas story. If you're looking for this passage, you can find it on page 80 in the New Testament of your Pew Bible. And this is important to know the context. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then Jesus told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, today, as you well know, is the first Sunday of Advent. And as we mentioned last week, it's also the beginning, the start of the church calendar. Advent is a combination of many traditions in the history of the Christian church. If you were to look up the word Advent in the dictionary, you would then find some help in sorting out its full meaning. Advent is a noun. It means the coming into place or view or being, arrival, the advent of the holiday season. Number two, usually with an initial capital letter, A, capital A, Advent, the coming of Christ into the world. Capital A, Advent, the period beginning four Sundays before Christmas, observed in commemoration of the coming of Christ into the world. And finally, capital A, Advent, second coming. Here's also some information that I looked up from a Roman Catholic website. The Latin word Adventus is the translation of the Greek word parousia, commonly used in reference to the second coming of Christ. For Christians, the season of Advent anticipates the coming of Christ from two different perspectives. The season offers the opportunity to share in the ancient longing for the coming of the Messiah and to be alert to his second coming. The theme of readings and teachings during Advent is often to prepare for the second coming while commemorating the first coming of Christ at Christmas. With the view of directing our thoughts to the first coming of Christ as Savior and to his second coming as Judge, special readings are prescribed for each of the four Sundays in Advent. Interesting information, perhaps some new meaning for you. When you think back over the scripture readings that we read for today, you'll see this dual perspective of anticipation of Christ's arrival. The readings from Jeremiah and Psalm 25 pray for the first arrival of the Messiah that we celebrate at Christmas, while the passage from 1 Thessalonians comes after Jesus' resurrection and so looks forward to the second coming. Obviously, with Jesus speaking in the gospel passage from Luke, he is reminding his followers then and now, be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Now, as we stand together at the beginning of Advent, at this amazing time of anticipation, we can choose how we will respond to Jesus' command to be alert at all times. Let me tell you a short story from my childhood. When I was in junior high school, I had a little bit more hair then. When I was in junior high, I took a liking to a certain young lady, and I guess she liked me too. Anyway, she invited me to join her for a youth meeting at her church, and so I eagerly agreed. When we arrived, the room was filled with a bunch of kids our age. The point of the evening was to watch a movie about the rapture, a dramatization about a somewhat controversial interpretation of the Bible that anticipates a time at the end of time when those who are in God's favor will be plucked from wherever they are and taken up to heaven, while those who are unrepentant sinners will be left on the earth in the obvious absence of all the so-called good people. The message of this graphic and disturbing movie was quite clear. Repent of your sins, commit your life to Jesus, and be saved from eternal damnation. Well, I can tell you in no uncertain terms that this movie literally scared the hell right out of me. But my motivation for following Jesus was absolute fear of what would surely happen to me if I didn't get right with the Lord. Now, my experience was certainly not unlike the experience of a lot of people who have participated in this kind of hellfire and brimstone approach. It illustrates one end of a spectrum of human reaction and response to what life throws at each of us throughout our lives. It is said quite accurately that there are many things in life that we cannot control, situations that arise that we have little or no ability to change. The only thing that you can control is how you respond to that situation. You can choose to react or to respond. When someone encounters a situation that is shocking or dangerous or fearful, that person may react in the classic primitive brain mode of fight, flight, or freeze. This is a basic human reaction designed to ensure your survival. You react without even thinking. Think back to the last time something happened that terrified you. Your instinct was probably to fight, or to run away, or to freeze in your tracks. And obviously it worked because you lived through that experience. At the other end of this response spectrum is when you have the time and the temperament to respond thoughtfully to what has just occurred. This can be called awareness or mindfulness. It's when you understand your own mind and spirit and emotions so well that you consider your response before you act, and then you act in accordance with your faith and your integrity. I believe that our scripture lessons for today illustrate both ends of this spectrum. If you concentrate on Jesus' words from the Luke reading, I think you will see what I'm talking about. This kind of talk that Jesus is describing about the end times is called apocalyptic literature. Jesus says, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud, with power and great glory." And then a little further on in the same reading, Jesus continues, "Be on guard that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man." This can rightfully come across as pretty scary stuff when you get right down to it. Maybe you react in the same way I did when I saw that movie about the rapture. Maybe some folks will reject Christianity because of this view of the end of time. Maybe you will want to run away from this terrifying prospect. Maybe your faith freezes when you are forced to consider this judgment day at the end of time, when you will be held accountable for your life actions. But Jesus also illustrates a different response. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Doesn't this have a vastly different tone from the sections that bookend this passage? Jesus seems to be saying that just as we are attentive to the changing of the seasons, as we watch new leaves form on the trees in the springtime, so too we ought to watch carefully and pay attention to the stirrings of God's kingdom that are taking place within you and all around us. We are to be mindful and watchful and aware. On this first Sunday of Advent, with Christmas just 23 days away, the Church and the Bible call us to consider the birth of the Christ child in Bethlehem and the second coming of Jesus at the end of time. We are caught in that in-between time. And you have a choice to make, to react or to respond. Which will it be? You can react to the fearful stories of the rapture and listen to the voice that says to be on guard so that you won't be caught in the trap of Judgment Day. You can react to the onslaught of advertising and the relentless call to consumerism that hopes to convince you that happiness is only found in a greater pile of Christmas gifts that you cannot afford and that you don't really need in the first place. That can be your Advent. It's up to you. Or you can respond to Jesus' offer of becoming a disciple. You can come to know yourself as you give yourself fully to Christ. You can slow down and make a daily habit of reading the Bible in a time of prayer and devotion. You can join others at our weekly Bible study, and you can share in the joys of Christian fellowship and accountability to your faith. You can open your eyes to the amazing realization that God's kingdom is right here and right now, and that your eternal life has already begun. That can be your Advent. It's up to you. O come, Emmanuel, indeed. Amen.